dancing to country music star Chad Bushnell. All that plus live, silent, and dessert auctions, all to benefit Friends of the Shasta District Fair and the future of our wonderful fair. Please join us Saturday, November 21st for All You Can Eat Baby Back Ribs and an evening of fun with friends. Tickets available at the fairgrounds office or call 378-6789.
This is Carl Bott. Join me Monday with Eric Wichman as my co-host from Five Star Bank as we welcome Chris Peronto of 13 Hours in Benghazi. Find out what really happened there during that 13 hours right before his talk Monday evening. Also joining us, Leah Tate, running for city council. Find out what Leah wants to accomplish in city council. And then Gary Cadd with the latest from the district attorney about the Brown Act violations. Is there going to be charges? All of this Monday here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. We're here for another lovely Sunday morning. You know, as my co-host this morning put it, we're watching the liquid gold fall from the sky and enjoying that for sure. We're here this morning with Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
How goes it, sir?
Well, very well.
Yeah, you enjoying life now?
We are.
Good. A lot of things going on with Jefferson. I know you've been running around a big part of it. A lot of things going on here in Shasta County that are coming to fruition. That's got to be exciting.
It is.
So, you know, we'll probably be seeing more and more of Wynn. For those of you that don't know, the mouse is about to bring another Jeffersonian into the world here in the next few months. So as that progresses, we'll probably be seeing more and more of you.
Thank you, Kayla.
Well, you know, it was funny as kind of a joke, as one of the people that started the movement up in Siskiyou County originally, she's kind of a matchmaker and is running around among the younger Jeffersonians trying to hook them up. And I said, what are you trying to start, your own Jefferson breeding program? She just kind of gave me the, you know, the look, shh.
Be very quiet.
So, no, that's good news. So we have a ton going on, had a ton going on last week with different town halls and things going on. The Senate District 1 candidate for Jefferson, Steve Baird, was all over the north last week out meeting constituents and starting to spread the message and, you know, getting the people to hear it and understand it. That went very well. Amador County actually already has begun discussion on the state of Jefferson.
Amador, Calaveras, and Tuolumne.
Well, I believe the Board of Supervisors last Tuesday in Amador actually had a board discussion of it.
Yep.
And things are looking positive there. They want some more information, sensibly so. But Amador County might be, you know, in very quickly.
Yes, yes. And that's what we're hoping for.
And, you know, as exciting to a lot of us hardcore old Jeffersonians, we've now seen a contagion into Oregon.
Yes.
You know, for a lot of us, we would like to see Roseburg South as the state of Jefferson. We consider that kind of the, you know, the historical territory of Jefferson. And culturally and economically, we have a lot in common with our folks north of the border there.
We do. We do.
So, and that includes our timber, our mining, you know, a lot of different things that we touch on.
We'll keep it on the down low, but they'd be a great asset to Jefferson.
Absolutely. they have resources out the yazoo just like we do.
Yep.
You know, we were revisiting geological surveys, actually, for a different reason. But we were, a la Mr. Brown, but we were looking at geological surveys and just the wealth that is abundant here, that is easily accessible, that is able to be accessed in an environmentally responsible way. The things that we can do are so exciting.
Yes.
And even the infrastructure and resources that we could build, you know, there's always the discussion of water in Jefferson.
Sure.
And let's admit it, out of the shiny rocks and out of the farms and out of the oil and everything else that's to be found in California, the water's the gold.
Yes, it is.
So what kind of things do you think that we could do to produce more gold?
To produce more gold?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not sure. What do you got up your sleeve?
Well, one of the things that we've been talking about that could be an economic boon both to the north and the south is if we were free of government regulations of California and free to produce for ourselves, we could begin building reservoirs in Jefferson to supply the south, to supply ourselves, and to help our we'll call them cousins this morning, to the south.
Yeah.
And help them out. And we could legitimately start building reservoirs and probably not stop. We have the land for it. We have the space. We have the resources for it.
And we have the willingness.
And the ability and the know-how.
Yeah, yeah.
And to, at the same time, to be able to properly manage that in tune with wildlife.
And they could also double as recreational waterways.
Exactly. It could bring in tourism. It could bring in fishing. It could bring in a great deal, many things that are low-impact industries that are helpful to the north and mesh with our rural lifestyle.
Right, right.
So, you know, you're always going to run into the argument about dams kill fish. Dams don't kill fish. They've never killed fish. You know, the thing that's always bugged me is if they really wanted to save the salmon run, they would sail about 11 miles offshore and blow the crap out of the Japanese Navy that's sitting out there raping the salmon harvest.
Yeah.
I mean, 11 miles offshore, you have factory ships and fishing trawlers, Japanese fishing trawlers, that have nets that extend 40 miles on either side of the boat. And they just, right there, 11 miles out, and does people assume that a salmon goes, oh, nope, I better stay 11 miles in where the Americans are.
Yep.
And they just destroy the fish stocks. They clean and can them right there on the ocean so they don't waste any time, and then load it on a boat and send it to Japan. Yeah. You really want to save the salmon run, there's your problem.
Right.
But nobody talks about that. They use all this environmental foo-foo.
Well, there's got to be some kind of a hidden agreement there somewhere.
Do you think there's a little bit of money involved somewhere?
A little bit of cash.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
greasing palms appropriately.
Yeah, we could go down the rabbit trail on that one for some time, too. Some other research that we've done with our illustrious Brown dynasty here in California and some of the connections that they have with certain people. But we'll save that for another time.
Sick him.
Well, we've been doing some digging on our illustrious governor, and there's some very interesting questions that need to be answered.
No fracking way.
Yes. that's definitely part of it. but I think one of the things that we really wanted to touch on this morning was concepts like that, ideas that people are bringing forward for economic growth, all that could be possibilities within Jefferson.
Right.
For the first time in decades, we're seeing active discussion of what could our government be, what could we do, what could we unleash economically, what can we do for ourselves. It's not a discussion of what can the government subsidize or what can the, you know, yeah. It's really a discussion of if the government was out of the way,
what could we do?
What could we as people do? And, you know, especially on social media, where there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people and more every day that we see asking questions and having discussions and openly activating forums to discuss particular issues. There's a page that discusses the Second Amendment. There's a page that discusses agriculture. And there's this great communication among people that's going on, discussing ideas, constitutional concepts, the morality of law. And it's just watching this great social awakening here in the North State. And it's fantastic to watch. And to be perfectly honest, I think it's scaring the crap out of some of the powers that be.
As well as it should.
It should.
It should.
It really
they
should.
They no longer have control on telling us, oh, no, sit in the corner and just, you know, mind your P's and Q's and let us take care of it. We're the smart ones. We know what we're doing. I mean, we are the officials, you know. But they keep forgetting they work for us.
Well, that's true. You know, I was reading an article out of Chico the other day about our Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and according to the paper, he made the statement that he doesn't support or believe any candidate that's not already in government is a viable candidate because they're not serious.
How did he get there?
Yeah, when were you born into government?
No.
How does that work? And to be perfectly honest, I think most people are awakening to the concept and the idea that the entrenched government is the problem.
Right.
So with that, we better get off to our first break. And if you guys have any questions or comments this morning, you can call in at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, Free Fire Radio for the North State.
This is Don from Redding Tire Factory. Getting ready for a road trip, RVing, or off-road adventures? Redding Tire Factory can make sure your tires are ready to roll. Passenger, light truck, RV, and ATV tires. Redding Tire Factory carries a wide variety of name brand tires, including Goodyear, Cooper, Yokohama, and Nokian. Our tires come with the best in the West warranty. Redding Tire Factory offers a complimentary 20-point vehicle inspection free. Redding Tire Factory, corner of California and Eureka Way in beautiful downtown Redding. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net. And donate now to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Let the sky fall and it crumbles. We will stand tall, we'll face it all together.
Strategizing here in the studio. Some of the different things that are going on. But yeah, I mean, with the number of counties that we have engaged now, I mean, we have 11 counties actively declared. We've got a 12th that's awaiting an advisory vote of the people that we're very, very confident is going to go Jefferson's way.
Mm-hmm.
The enthusiasm and the speed that Amador and Calaveras and Tuolumne County are moving at is surprising to us. We haven't seen that really kind of since Glenn County.
Right.
You know, when Glenn County heard the message and they were like, we're in.
They get it.
We get it.
They get it.
So that's very exciting to see. And one of the things that we were talking about is at this point, the State of Jefferson movement's not going anywhere.
You mean not going away?
Ever.
Yeah.
Going away.
Yeah. It is going somewhere. It's not going away.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for a lot of us that have been in the trenches since the get-go, you pretty much one of them is... You know, the amount of flack and the different things that we heard from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they tried to isolate us as kooks and wing nuts, and then we were, you know, right-wing goons and racists and all these other things that we've kind of had to just weather the storm and stay the course on.
Yep.
And to watch the evolution that's happening, to watch the awakening, as we were saying, even the people that... don't support Jefferson necessarily, are now engaging in the discussion.
Right, right.
They're actively having the discussion. And the thing that fascinates me is that there is actually a discussion. It's not, oh, I don't agree with you on this idea, and I'm not going to talk to you, you know, you're my enemy, and blah, 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 now we're just going to butt heads. People are actively discussing the concept of their own government, their own sovereignty, their own inalienable rights, and the things that they can and should be doing.
Well, once they understand that as a new state, we are sovereign like the 13 original.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sovereign like a country, because the 13 original were like France and Spain and all the other old countries. They were sovereign units, and that's what we would be as well. We wouldn't have all these government intrusions in our state. They would not be allowed. They'd be non-negotiable, and well, I shouldn't say non-negotiable, negotiable to a point, but it would be to the benefit of the citizens of Jefferson.
Absolutely.
Every time anything gets done, it's to the benefit of the citizens of Jefferson.
Yes.
And that's the only way it would progress, because otherwise you turn around and you end up being like, oh, I don't know, California, you know, or any other state that's taking the money and...
Yeah, poor California, the progressive crash test dummy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have paid the price for it up here in more than one way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but it's fascinating to watch that discussion, and it's very vital to what's going on. And there's finally beginning to grow the understanding again, is that we don't have to agree on everything to agree on some things.
Correct.
You know, I was having a discussion online with some people a couple of nights ago. There were some questions from some new people coming on, and they were curious about the Constitutional Convention and how is that going to work, and, you know, what's the Constitutional Convention going to decide on this, and what is the Constitution going to look like and that. And there was six or seven very knowledgeable people that, you know, are not core speakers or anything for the movement, just people that have investigated and done things themselves, having this discussion back and forth. And we don't know what's coming out of the Constitutional Convention. That's the entire purpose of the convention.
Right.
And this person was saying, oh, so there's not a unified message. Well, there's unified fundamentals of what we all agree on, that the Constitution is the law of the land and that it should be exercised to its fullest for the protections of the citizens. But as far as specifics, no, it's really kind of wide open. That's why there's going to be a discussion. And some of the discussions that have already been had, we may have to reinstitute dueling for the Constitutional Convention, because there's some people that are just going to flat slam heads on some things.
Well, the founders did.
Yes, they did.
Good Lord. I mean, they're pulling guns on each other, going fisticuffs in the rooms they were having their meetings in, and calling each other vulgar names. I mean, they spat on each other. You name it,
they
did it.
There was a couple of guys that actually shot each other over it.
Yeah, they did it.
They're, you know, it wasn't civil discussion.
No, it wasn't.
You know, but they agreed on the fundamentals of freedom, liberty, life, property.
Right.
That there was these core values that they all understood and how vital they were. And then after that, it really was negotiable at the point of a gun in some cases.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that we're going to be at the Constitutional Convention shooting at each other.
No, we'll do gun checks at the door. Make sure everybody has one.
But I expect some very animated, very passionate discourses and discussions on certain things.
Yep.
And it's going to fascinate me to see which way some things go.
Being a fly on the wall is going to be wonderful watching
it. Oh, yeah, just to sit in the back and watch it go.
Yeah.
You know? And but that's the beautiful thing about the Jefferson movement is it is going to be the people becoming the government again.
Right.
And you have these entrenched dynastic politicians, and I'll refer to California Senate District 1, mm-hmm. Ted Gaines and his wife, who are both in office. Here's a guy that has been in office for years. His wife has been in government pay for years. They only care about remaining in government office. You know, Ted Gaines doesn't even care if he is our senator.
No.
You know, last term he wanted to be insurance commissioner and couldn't get to do that, so he reapplied to be our senator again so that he could stay in government office. And he's already looking at moving to the State Board of Equalization. He doesn't even want the job.
It's a fallback position.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the history of he and his wife and how they move around houses and homes and things.
Staying in their districts.
To stay in their districts. And it's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's that desperate cling to be part of the political welfare class.
Right.
And that's some of the things that we've seen in a great many places at Board of Supervisors and the state level. And the determination, now that people are aware and they're looking and they're seeing what's going on, and you're getting the determination of these people that are wanting to grab this form of government by the roots and tear it out and restore it to the people, it's exciting, it's fascinating, it's really an exercise in history.
It is, and it's going to be interesting to see how the current layers of government, whatever it is, city council, board of supervisors, on up, how they start changing their tune on certain things when they finally, if they finally realize what's really going on.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them still are in denial and or ignoring it, or just, you know, we're not even on the radar, which is okay, because if we're not on the radar, then when they get nailed with it, guess what?
Yeah.
They're done and out.
Well, and there really legitimately is a political freight train coming in the north.
Yes, there is.
And people are going to start paying the price for politics as usual.
And the political freight train in the north is free because it's done by all the patriots that are done up here. We don't have this high-speed rail thing going on.
Yeah,
we have a good old-fashioned steam engine going, and it's not going to stop.
Yeah. You don't even need a ticket to hop on the train.
No.
And it's a lot of fun to watch. It's very satisfying in a lot of ways because of a large amount of the work and the effort and the grind and the frustration and the setbacks and the defeats and just and again the frustration of dealing with some of these people, because a lot of us went into this knowing that there was a problem and believing that the problem is that people weren't aware of the reasons of the problem, and if we simply educated them that the light would go on and they go, oh, okay, that's what's wrong.
Let's fix it.
And yeah. For a large part among normal people, as I call them, we've seen that. We see the light go on. We see the understanding. We see the birth of an American.
Right, right.
But when we ran into our politicians, in a lot of cases, we educated, they're fully aware of what the problem is, and they're okay with it. They accept it. They adapt to it. They use it to their own ends.
Yes, they do.
And like I said, the frustration, we'll just leave the word frustration,
yeah.
of dealing with that mindset and that sort of soft corruption of American ideals is you're not supposed to gloat, but it's very satisfying to see the backlash that's coming for a lot of that.
Well, you know, for some of them, they've earned it.
They have. they've worked overtime at what they've got coming.
Whatever they get coming, they've totally earned, and, you know, I'm a big believer in that, you know, God will correct all wrong, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
we have to just sit back and
let it happen.
Let it happen.
And be patient.
Be patient and be good boys.
You know, do you ever think that the people that are so adamant about getting rid of Jesus realize that it's Jesus that keeps them alive and protected?
Yeah, I don't think they have a clue.
I mean, if it wasn't for Jesus preaching forgive and live and let live, what do you think the reaction of a lot of Christians would be?
No, they wouldn't be. Those others wouldn't be alive. They'd be taken out.
Maybe you shouldn't be in such a big hurry to get rid of Jesus. I think he keeps you alive. I know he does for me. So, with that, we got a phone call from Jimmy.
Hi, Red. How's it going, man?
Hey, how goes it?
Good, good. Hey, I've been hearing a lot of talk about building dams in California because we need the water after these terrible droughts we've had. And you mentioned earlier in the show about people worried about the fish population. Well, I think it was this show or Carl Bott's show I called, and there is, I've been to Ireland a few times, and in Ballyshannon, Ireland, on the Erne River, they put a dam in, and it has an actual salmon ladder going up it. It zigzags back and forth across the face of the dam. And the dam's probably about a half to a third size of Shasta, but still they have a salmon ladder that goes up it, and they run up and go through the, you know, the Erne Reservoir and up into the hills there. So, I mean, that's something that nobody here in the States has talked about that I've heard. So I was just going to throw that out there if you want to check it out and use that to further your argument about building dams.
Road trip, Ireland, here we come.
Yeah, that would be great. So, well, thank you for that, Jimmy. And you're absolutely correct. We ourselves used to use fish ladders. It was one of the things that we constructed along smaller streams and dams. We constructed fish ladders in the stream bed to help the salmon and the fish. There are fish populations in the North State that would not exist without the help of man to build reservoirs, dams, and fish ladders. And I'm so tired and frustrated of the lies and the nonsense and the BS that somehow between 1950 and 1990, the salmon population forgot how to use a fish ladder. How does that happen? So with that, we better get off to our bottom of the hour break. Again, it's Wynn and I here today and talking about it and kind of just discussing some of the great things that are coming about from the Jefferson movement. And a lot of the things that are going to come to be. So if you have any more calls or comments, you can reach us here at 530-605-4567 or in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. This is the Jefferson State of Mind.
The voice in my head, hey, is telling me that I should stay in my bed because it's doing the night. Why can't I sleep when it's 2 in the night? Cause the fire in my soul, hey, the fire in my soul got me ready to fight, and I'm ready for war. Whoa, 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 whoa. Climbed the streets and I found my way over. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Even when the day comes,
yeah. Now watch me kick in the door. But what if the day comes when we go from sun to moon soon? Who can I run to, run to, run to? Will you be loyal? Will you be true when I need you? Say, climb these streets and I found my way over. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
It's no joke. We are in a serious water crisis, and the city of Reading is facing large fines from the state if we don't meet the demands. Reading residents did an excellent job of conserving water this past summer, but the days are cooler and shorter now, and plants and lawns don't need as much water. We can meet our goal by running sprinklers just 2 days a week, or set your timer to 60% of normal, and be sure to turn sprinklers off altogether before and after it rains. Be water wise, water less, and together we'll all get through this.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dues until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Fall is just around the corner, and if you're looking for that special gift or a wardrobe fix, Dandelion is your destination. Located at 1322 Pine Street, walk into the all-new and expanded Dandelion Boutique, and you'll discover the largest selection of Brighton in the North State. Every day, there are new arrivals with the latest styles and colors. Let one of the gals at Dandelion help you select what's right for your body type. Friendly, always fashionable, Dandelion. Open 10 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Well, I think one of those days is here.
I think so, too.
We got ourselves a phone call from Bob in Reading. You there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Bob, how goes it?
Hey, it's going real good. Hey, what I'd like to have you bring up, you know, California thinks this thing of Jefferson is such a farce and everything and how terrible it is. Why are they spending so many hundreds of thousands of dollars to stop this?
Because they're scared.
We keep it California.
Because they're scared of us.
They're very scared, yeah.
You know, and I think you ought to bring this out to the people and let them know that how much, you know, California is fighting to keep us under wraps, that they don't want us to become the state of Jefferson. and what it's costing them in their taxes for California to fight us.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that opens the question is why? If we're such a defunct section of the state,
right.
If we're such nothing
a burden
but,
on them,
yeah,
why don't they just throw us out?
Yeah, why are they so desperate to cling on to us?
Uh-huh.
And you bring up Keep It California, who is a group that is actively doing everything they can to try to derail Jefferson. They're not very good at it.
They're trying to beat us to our own meetings to get on the thing where they could speak and everything before we get there. To tell the people, this isn't what you want. California's so great for you. But we're not going to do nothing for you. I've been to a couple of their meetings already. They don't tell you what they're going to do for you or what they've done for you, if they've done anything at all. But they're trying to tell you how bad Jefferson really is.
They don't have any data. They don't have any statistics. They don't have any facts
to follow up to
support one way or the other.
Is that as bad as Jefferson is, at this point, Jefferson still is California, which means, in actuality, California is that bad.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes.
So their whole entire argument of it is, look at how bad it is. Don't become a new state, because you'll be this bad.
I've been to a couple of their meetings where Keep It California's been there. And they have brought up facts, okay, about the cost of this and that and the other that they're trying to say we don't have the facts of. But then in their speech they say, we're not sure all of this is right.
Yep.
Well, if they're not sure it's right, how can they be facts?
Well, see, the thing with Keep It California is Keep It California is absolutely ideologically driven. They don't care about finances or economics or jobs or the stability of the people that live here. It is solely and purely ideologically driven about the progressive agenda of California, and they don't care who they harm or who they keep disenfranchised to do that. We have a great deal many liberal supporters of the state of Jefferson that are infuriated with Keep It California, because Keep It California went to the Democratic Party of California and received a resolution to attempt to stop the state of Jefferson from occurring and do everything they can to actively stop it. And there are liberal supporters that are going, wait a minute, so you're willing to disenfranchise me and my vote and my willingness to have representation in the state house? You're willing to keep the status quo where I no longer have a say just so that you can continue to push and support your progressive agenda that is driving California into the ground? That's who these people are.
And they're only helping us prove our point.
Every day.
Every day.
The best thing we can do is let Keep It California talk.
Let them do their thing.
Well, I understand we should let them talk. That's not what I'm against. What I want you folks to do, because you're on the radio, and this is why I bring it up so we could talk about it, is let's keep this going about what Keep It California's doing. What's it costing California, who says we are worthless? Why are they spending all this money on cars and on people to go to places, hotels, food, everything, to keep us from being Jefferson if what we are doing is so bad?
Hey, Bob, you know what? They're doing exactly the opposite of what the Jefferson Patriots are doing. The Jefferson Patriots, we pay for our own hotels, we pay for our own gas, we use
That's
our
right.
own cars, we pay for our own food.
We do.
And we do it out of our own pockets. They, on the other hand, are taking money from whomever, which is probably the taxpayers, which would be us.
Well, the public taxpayers.
Yes,
That's
they're
right.
probably taking
yeah.
it from us taxpayers. So
I
we're paying for it
to
twice.
I tell you exactly who they're
we're
taking the money from.
We're paying for them
January.
To fight us that we pay ourselves to become.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. It's, you know, and that's why Keep It California is such a effective organization, just not effective in the manner that they intend to be.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, their hypocrisy is so thinly veiled. Their true agenda is so thinly veiled and not well hidden at all that most normal people see right through it. The people that support them are the ones that have skin in the game and are being subsidized or taken care of in some manner or fashion by the status quo and the way that things are.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got another question. Isn't Jerry Brown's big ranch in the Jefferson area?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, I got to just bring this up. Isn't there a way that if we become Jefferson, that with all the money he is taking from California people and the taxes to find out about fracking and oil on his property, couldn't that be taken away from him?
The money or the ranch?
No, the ranch.
No.
No. That's
no.
That's not what we're about. Nope.
Nope.
It will come.
Well, could we at least get
the
stuff
funny
from
thing
the oil?
Is, the funny thing is that Jerry Brown would probably be better off economically with his private property and what he wanted to do in Jefferson than he would be in California.
Well, yeah, he'd have to really pay a bunch in California.
Yeah.
If he hit in the billions of dollars like oil is. I mean, look at the taxes he'd have to come up with unless he has a way out of that. Well, he's Catholic. He may become his own church and donate it to the church.
The Church of Jerry Moonbeam. That's hilarious. So, all right, we're going to have to get off to our next break here. But I will leave you with one thing, Bob. If you're real curious about Jerry Brown and his ranch, what he's up to, look at the location of Jerry Brown's ranch and then look at where the pending sites reservoir is going in and look at the hydrology of the land.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I understand where the Sykes Reservoir is, yes.
Yes. And also look that Jerry Brown, sitting with 1852 riparian rights, is now north of the Berryessa Snow Mountain Federal Reserve.
And also check out the article that Red wrote that says in the Shasta Lantern that was picked up by Breitbart. Everybody knows who that is, so it's a coming.
Yeah.
Okay. There,
Jerry's got some questions to answer. James, we know we got you on the line. We've got to get off to our last break here, and we will grab your phone call right after this. Thank you for calling in, and again, we got a little bit of time left. Call us at 530-605-4567, and this is the Jefferson State of Mind.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civics Revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy said, be sure to let everyone know Beth and Johnny had a little baby boy. Now we're doing a lot of kerosene deliveries and selling a lot of used and new Toyotomi stoves. So give us a call for your free estimate. We're trying to fill the tanks before winter sets in. The drivers have snowshoes on their backs, so they're ready for winter. Kathy's got a bunch of new tank filters and gauges in, so let us know on your next delivery and we'll bring them out. Be sure to use ethanol-free 93 and all the lawnmowers and weed eaters before you put them back in the shed. We got another load of clear pearl in for all the portable heaters and propane bottles for the others. Northern Lights Energy, for your bulk deliveries for home, farm, ranch, construction, and logging. In Corning, call Robin, Joe in Weaverville, and in Redding, the rest of the crew. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
It's time for The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Concerned citizens and clergy gathered enough petition signatures to put the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, or HERO, to a vote of the people. These citizens were concerned about the privacy rights of all citizens, not just the rights of the LGBT community. With a court order, the vote was put to the people, and HERO was recently rejected by 60% of Houston voters. For Pacific Justice Institute, I'm Brad Dacus.
To find out more, log on at pacificjustice.org.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world to its own needs. Dummies serve your own needs. Beat it up a notch. Speed grunt. No strength. Doesn't matter. Start to clatter with fear. Fight down. High choir and a fire. Represent the seven games. And a government for hire. And a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Keep my team reporters. Battle Trump. Tether crop. Look at that. No plane. Find them.
I'm all right with that.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
I've kind of had enough of the way it's working now.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
And with that, James and Redding, I want to thank you for holding through the break. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. What you got for us this morning?
Well, I just had a quick question. About a week ago, Angie Watson announced that she was running for Shasta County Board of Supervisor District 4. And I was not aware, or one is my question is that has she publicly stated a position on the state of Jefferson?
Not that we are aware of.
That's it.
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that we are aware of. We know the current supervisor, Bill Chappelle, is a strong and ardent supporter of the state of Jefferson.
He's
we know
the only
that
one.
There's a former Redding city mayor running for District 4, and Ms. Wasserman, I believe the name is, running for District 4. We have not discussed with either one of them the state of Jefferson yet. They're just up getting their campaigns up. So, no, we don't know the answer to that yet.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's what I wanted to know.
But we will happily let you know the second we do know.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be great.
So, all right. Well, thank you. And that's a good question and a good point because there are a lot of candidates that are starting to run supporting Jefferson and the Jefferson model of government. And, you know, they're already beginning to get hit. Oh, you just want the state of Jefferson. Well, of course they do. Why wouldn't they? California sucks. Okay. But you know, it's not only just the Jefferson concept that they're supporting and running on. It's not just about state split. It's about the model that Jefferson discusses and bringing government back to the people, directly to the people as close as possible. And you take people like Janet Chandler, who's running for District 3, yep. who fundamentally understands at her core that her job is to defend and act in the best interests of the constituents of her district as a whole, and not just be a rubber stamp and help to enable what California is going to do to her constituents, but to stand against it and make sure that her constituents are getting the things that they're needing, such as the bridge up there in Fall River
right.
that it is splitting a community in half, government corruption and incompetence.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, it's a problem that many people apparently in the state knew existed and didn't do anything about it.
Oh, that's just because of that little tiny community up in the Northeast. Really.
Yeah, well, I'd like to ask what their current representative is doing about it.
Zero.
Yeah, who?
Who?
Yeah. But as we've been talking about all morning, we're really starting to see it change, and change at the level that it needs to, of an informed citizen
mm-hmm.
that is having good and viable discussions with other informed citizens and coming to sensible conclusions. They're now engaged. They're now paying attention to what's going on.
Right.
And they're hungry to actually fix it.
Well, with the media, the social media that we have, it's people are getting schooled. I mean, we're learning hard and fast on what to do, how to do it, what not to do,
mm-hmm.
and why not to do it, and to do things the right way, and to hold people accountable. And by all your political friends that are currently in positions that need to be held accountable, it's starting to happen. And yeah. then the new people coming in that want to make a difference and want to do it right, but never thought about doing before, or have thought about it but have been on the fence thinking, oh, I could never do that. Now they're realizing, yeah, I can make a difference, and my heart's in the right place, mm-hmm. and they've got the brain power, and they've got the skills and ability to do it, and they've got the support from their community members, because people are saying, hey, why don't you run? You would be great at this. So they're starting to do it, and not just in Shasta County. We're talking 20 counties wide,
yeah.
at least.
And at least two states now.
And two states now, yeah.
And it is. It's exciting because it's citizen government. It's citizen representatives. You've got truck drivers and grocers and teachers and normal blue-collar, everyday workers, people. They're quoting concepts from people like John Locke and, mm-hmm. you know, Alexander de Tocqueville and the concepts of our government and our founding fathers. And to watch the excitement and the understanding that builds in these people as they learn these things, as they fundamentally understand this, and to watch the hope and the strength that blooms in those people,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've now been reborn as a sovereign citizen, and nothing is going to take that away from them, and it excites the hell out of me
and
watch it happen.
And they should be excited about that, because they've been in the dark for so long that now they're finally starting to come out of it. It's like, wait a minute. And they're having this, it's like almost like a rebirth, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding out what is theirs, and they're finding out what they can do and how they can do it, and even if they do it wrong, guess what? They're still doing it.
Yeah,
you know, and they're learning as they go.
And the Republicans don't own exclusive rights to liberty, freedom, and property, and the Democrats don't own exclusive rights to it. The government doesn't own exclusive rights to it. We, the people, as sovereign individuals who have come together to incorporate this government, hold the exclusive rights.
We do, and they were given to us by God.
Yep, and you can't take them away.
Nope.
Nee.
Yep, God gave them. No man can take them. Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
And it we've definitely seen that discussion beginning to take place wholesale.
Yes.
And that's because of the State of Jefferson movement.
Absolutely.
You know, if nothing else was to ever occur in Jefferson again, we've already ignited the spark that cannot be extinguished.
That's right.
And I'm pretty happy about it myself.
Very excited. So
we'll see you again next Sunday, guys. We'll have some more information coming along. As always, we've got some things in the works we can't tell you about. You know how much we love to tease you with it. Got to be here next Sunday, and we'll let you know. And Wynn, as always, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
So until then, keep the sunny side up. And, well, actually, this time around, enjoy the rain.
Enjoy the rain.
No matter where. News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Obama administration is treating the terrorist attacks in Paris as an act of war.
French President François Hollande has called them that, and White House advisor Ben Rhodes says they certainly qualify.
Anytime you have innocent civilians targeted on that scale by a terrorist organization, they're clearly waging war.
But speaking to reporters, Rhodes stresses the administration's considered the U.S. at war with the Islamic State group for a year now and is mounting airstrikes and targeting militant leaders accordingly. That said, Rhodes does not see President Obama responding to Paris by sending a U.S. ground force into Syria. He says what's needed is local forces to seize and hold territory. Mark Smith at the G20 summit, Antalya, Turkey.
NFL fans attending games today will find additional security in place following a trend since the Paris attacks. However, U.S. intelligence officials say they have no evidence of any specific or credible threat targeting.